Blog Talk Radio.
Let ever to come, shine out harmony, brotherly love, family of Kaab, Mishpach Adama, all the families of the earth. Blessings and greetings, everyone. You're alive because we want to stay alive in Torah Chaim, Torah Chesed, Torah Rachamim, instructions of life, mercies, all different types of instructions. Blessed souls. This is the 120th class of Soul Class. And you were just listening to Here Comes the Time from the Generation Redemption album from Rabbi Yitzhak Piton, blessed brother in soul, spirit, and time, who opened up the show with Here Comes the Time from Generation Redemption, his latest hot new CD. Blessed Soul, Soul is an acronym for S70, oldest, original U, universal, Elaz, the seven Noahic commandments, seven mitzvot ben Enoch, seven axiomatic commandments, which we'll speak out tersely. But you have to do the research to learn more about them. Blessed souls. Number one, not to serve idols. Number two, not to blaspheme the Creator with the Creator's name. Number three, not to commit premeditated acts of murder. Four, not to commit acts of adultery. Five, not to steal. Six, not to eat the limb of an animal still alive. And number seven, righteous steps to back up those six first, axiomatic commandments, which I just stated for, in a very terse manner, but you have to do your own research. Blessed souls, we only have 45 minutes today, so we're going to leap into the world of the first redemption of the Israelite nation, a lesson for this generation, for every nation, no exception, a type of redemption we of Israel experienced almost 3,324 years ago. And if you want, you can join us, the international community of Israel, as this blessed Shabbat coming up in 2 days, less than 2 days. We'll be reading and jamming out on the book of Exodus, chapter 6, verse 2, until chapter 9, verse 34. From the prophets, from the Haftarah, we will read from the prophet Ezekiel, Navi Yecheskel, chapter 28, verses 25, 26, and chapter 29, verses 1 through 21. Our humble efforts on the show today are as follows. We hope to pluck out insights from the teachings of Rav Hillel of Paritch, Zohar, the Ben Ish Chai, and the Lubavitcher Rebbe to awaken our reasoning to a higher level. Listed below are sites recommended to lubricate your blessed human consciousness, connect with excellence of dignity and excellence of strength by to your divine image, Tzelem Elokim, which is no dream, and those links I'm referring to, which if you go to the show as it is live right now on Blessed Blog Talk Radio Network, blogtalkradio.com, you will see that in the advertisement for the show, I'm advertising or promoting the following websites: www.chabad.org, www.thewellsprings.org, www.inner.org, www.chabadlif.tv, and www.lazerbrody.typepad.com/ and then asknoah.org. Well, blessed souls, you know, we do call this the Quantum Torah Part 8 show, and we want to, you know, quantum is a type of measurement, and, you know, Torah sets you in a motion, sets you in, put to in motion, makes you move, and three laws of motion we can briefly discuss tersely, and then see if we can activate our minds to see if they are fertile and flexible enough to try to bridge the gap between scientific teachings and Torah teachings, which are the source, ultimately, divine instruction is the ultimate source of all scientific reasoning and thought, because all thought in the human life experience, human being experience, is based on seichel noshi, human intellect. But it can be widened and broadened out through the teachings of Torah, divine instruction. So Newton's first law of motion connects to the idea that for an object to go into motion, there must be a force that must act upon it. And this force is a concept related to the concept of inertia. Now, inertia is the state of being of an object, whether it be moving or not moving, and the force acts upon it. And therefore, say like a basketball is on your kitchen, on your table, and it's inert, it's not moving. You push it, then you can watch how it moves after you touch it with your fingers, or if you were to give it a proverbial kick off the table. So that's one way of motion. So we're standing in a certain place where we are, yet there's a force coming upon us. The force here, blessed souls, is Torah. The second law of motion relating to Newton's laws of motion is the relationship between acceleration, force, and mass being the amount of inertia an object has, meaning the sun in its orbit has a certain inertia, it moves the way it particularly moves. A rock on the top of a mountain, which is not moving to the naked eye, even though its molecules are in motion, are vibrating, is vibrating at a slower rate than, say, the movement of the sun. Therefore, the rock to our naked eye appears not to be moving. So what happens to us is when we're moving and something is hitting us even harder, it's accelerating the relationship between that new concept of information and how much inertia we originally were containing within ourselves, whether we were in motion to learn more Torah, we were like that rock on the hill that didn't feel it could be moved, even though the vibratory patterns within with our own rock on the top of the hill consciousness was unknown to us, knowing that we have vibrations going on inside ourselves, we just don't take note of them. So Newton's third law of motion connects to the idea that when a force acts from one object to another, there is an equal force acting back on the original object. So if you pull on a rope, therefore the rope is pulling on you as well. So when you turn to the Torah turns to you. If you pull from the Torah will pull from you. Because we're talking about divine instruction. What that which the Most High has created is created to actually interface with you. Now, how conscious we are of that? Well, blessed souls, that has to come with experience. And as you learn more Torah into the in your blessed days and years and life, and share it with your family, friends, and community, you'll see that as you turn to the Torah will turn to you. So let's now go in. We have about, I think we have almost 40 quantum Torah quantum energy points to share with you today, blessed souls. Oh, 41, I think. Yeah, 41 points. Let's hopefully we can get them in today's show. We've got about 34 minutes left. If you want to call in to try to make the show a little bit more organic and try to interact with your state of inertia and my state of inertia, we can allow the Torah state of inertia to set us in motion, similar to the Newton's laws of motion. Torah quantum energy point number one, let us try to understand, and by the way, we're pulling now from the teachings of Rav Hillel Meir Parich, where I'm plucking out from his elucidation in the first chapter of Shar Yuchud, the gate of unity, unification, from the second Lubavitch Rebbe, Rebbe Dovber of Lubavitch. Rav Hillel teaches the following, or we're recapitulating in a way that will hopefully make it more understandable to you all, blessed souls. Torah quantum energy point number one. Let us try to understand what is considered to be a new and higher understanding extracted out of a lower level of understanding. Torah quantum energy point number two. This understanding is predicated upon a body of information, a concept of his bonenut or his bonenus, which one can call meditation, which is that what the world would call it, meditation. However, blessed souls, calling his bonenut or his bonenus meditation is like calling the living species of fish, all the varieties, as merely creatures of the sea, or merely living entities, but not knowing truly what those creatures are aside from observing in them in order to thrive, aside from observing in order for those fish creatures to survive, they must live in their natural environment. So we can make that general assumption about fish. If fish are to survive, they have to be within water. But if that's our only conclusion about fish, and we have no knowledge base of actually how fish interact with each other, we're going to start generating imaginations of what fish are and not truly what they are. So too, blessed souls, his bonenus or his bonenut meditation, to truly thrive as a human experience, to interact with, to pull from and to be pulled by, it must be viewed from within its original environment. How is the human experience of meditation, known as his bonenut or his bonenus, viewed from the Torah, its source of life and the source of all life in the creation, coming from the ultimate source of life, the creator of all creation? Torah quantum energy point number four. So now that we have extracted the word meditation, his bonenut, out of the context most people associate it with, as most people associate the concept of meditation with a Far Eastern, Middle Eastern, or now new modernized Western civilization discipline or ethereal form of spirituality, we ask two simple questions about this human experience called his bonenus, his bonenut, meditation. What is his bonenus in essence? And what should we misbonen on or mitbonen upon? Torah quantum energy point number five. Even before we tackle those two simple questions, we assert that his bonenut or his bonenus meditation should be rooted in chachma, wisdom, not understanding, bina. Torah quantum energy point number six. However, we are stopped in our tracks immediately, blessed souls, when recalling there is a Torah commandment to unify his name via the daily recital of Shema, which is a quality of Bina, of understanding, with the source for that teaching being extracted from the Zohar.
If you want to learn about the recitation of the Shema, you can go to chapter 6 in the book of Deuteronomy, Sefer Devarim. Torah quantum energy point number 7. So for now, blessed souls, we toy around with our awareness two realms of possibility. Should meditation, his bonanot, being an endeavor of wisdom, chachma, or do we rely upon the proof provided by the Zohar that the recitation of Shema, which can be recited and read from the book of Deuteronomy, as I just mentioned before, chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, is rooted in unifying the Most High's name, being the intellectual faculty of understanding known as Bina. Torah quantum energy point 8, in truth, blessed souls, it is time for us to stop conjecturing about what his bonanut meditation is about. So now we see that Rav Hillel, in his elucidation chapter or Os 1 of Shar Yuchad, the Gate of Unification, by the Mittler Rebbe, Rabbi Dov Ber, prefaces the answer to the question. Not only that he asked, but the author as well, the Mittler Rebbe, asked that same question. The Mittler Rebbe asked us as well, what was the source material for Rav Hillel's following and future elucidations that we hope to share with you in the future, blessed souls? Torah quantum energy point number 9, Rav Hillel prefaced in the following manner, and I'm plucking it out and playing with it to make it hopefully a little more digestible for you, blessed souls. Preface 1. Chachma, or wisdom, is a perception of cognitively encoding the essence of a concept without perceiving or without a cognitive encoding process into osiot, letters of thought and letters of speech. This experience is called seeing, riya, like glancing. Remember, this elucidation was written in the late 1820s, 1830s. So back then, as he gave an example, or allegory, of a beautiful building, that was something to see back in early 19th century Russia or Europe. Or I would suggest, let's say we take an allegorical depiction of glancing at a beautiful countryside, sensing its beauty, and whether one is looking at a building, one is unable to explain the details of why it is so beautiful based on the fact we only had a very quick glimpse of the building or the beautiful countryside. Say a person was riding in a car 60 miles an hour past the beautiful building or the beautiful countryside. To our quantum energy point number 10, even though a sense of beauty is felt quite tangibly, after all, in either scenario, there are splendid combinations of colors, scenic contrasts, yet there are no osios, letters, in one's mind or one's speech, which can encode that feeling of wondrous beauty, multisensory beauty, only because one is not looking strong enough at one, but one just looked at in a very terse fashion. Torah quantum energy point number 11, blessed souls, on the other hand, when one can comprehend the quality of beauty which one perceives and can express clearly the different colors artfully mixed together, whether it be the allegorical beautiful building or breathtaking countryside scenery, there is an encoding process taking place within one's brain of understanding, Moya Chabina, and then one can explain in detail to another person how the building was beautiful, or why that countryside scene or scenery was so breathtaking. Torah quantum energy point number 12. These two expressions of intellect, wisdom, Chachma, and understanding, Bina, are two-thirds of a cognitive awareness perception connection. Next week, with the blessings of the Most High, we hope to continue this teaching and elucidations from Hillel's elucidation from the first chapter of Shari Yuchud, Gate of Unification, that was originally authored by the Mittler Rebbe, the second of Bavitcher Rebbe. So now we turn to the wondrous teachings of the Sefer HaZohar and calling out from the beginning of this week's Torah portion, Vayera. Torah quantum energy point number 13, quote, God spoke to Moses and said to him, unquote, I am Hashem. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as two divine names, Kel Shakai. But my name, Hashem, is really spelled with the ineffable four-letter name of the Yud, followed by the He, followed by the Vav, and then concluding with a He. And in this verse, the Most High told Moses, the mighty Levite prophet, I did not make myself known to them by that name, the Yud, followed by the He, followed by a Vav, and concluding with a He. Torah quantum energy point number 14. To better understand the above verses I just quoted from Blessed Souls, the Zohar points to Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba, I believe, was one of the students of the author of the Zohar, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, who quoted a prophecy from Navi Agula, the prophet Isaiah, in chapter 26, verse 4, quote, trust in Hashem forever, for in the Most High, which is in the Most High at that point, is the divine name of the Yud, then followed by the He, then comma, Yud, and then the He, followed by the Vav, and concluding with the He, is the strength of the worlds, end of quote. Now, the idea that the Most High is the strength of the worlds, blessed souls, which worlds are we talking about? According to this teaching in the Zohar, jumping from the beginning of this week's Torah portion, then to the Zohar. Well, according to the explanation of Zohar, we're talking about this world and Olam Haba, the world to come. Torah quantum energy point number 15, continuing to connect to this prophecy into our practical understanding, it is worthy of us to become conscious of the reality, the higher reality, that all we need to be strengthened by is to know that there is a Holy One, blessed be an Almighty Creator, to serve Him, to want to serve Him, and want to carry out the commandments that He told or instructed Moshe, the mighty Levite prophet, to tell the children of Israel, and also as well, instructions which were relevant as a continuance of the tradition of the blessed children of Noah. As well, what we glean out of this teaching from the Zohar, blessed souls, is that we should trust only in the Most High, that all of our needs will be provided for us solely by Him, although it might appear from the naked eye that all of our sustenance is coming to us in a natural fashion. Torah quantum energy point number 16. So a question may arise that we should emphasize trusting in the Creator on a daily basis. I mean, it makes sense. I live my life day to day. You live your life day to day, blessed souls. So why is there an emphasis in this prophecy in Isaiah 26:4? Trust in Hashem, the Most High, forever. You know, again, why can't we just trust Him on a day to day basis? Why is He telling us put your trust in Him forever, when normative human consciousness says trust Him on a daily basis for this day? So since we're dealing with the book of Revelation of Israel, Sefer Zohar, blessed souls, we go to Torah quantum energy point number 17. So the response is, blessed souls, is that the Zohar is instructing us that we should not only trust in the Most High within the realm of our daily lives, but remain reassured and focused in realms way beyond our primarily existential reasoning, in the moment reasoning, that our Creator is well beyond anything that we can possibly reason out to be His realm of domain. and that we should trust that he's been running the show forever in the past, present, and he'll run the show forever in the future in ways that we can never understand, but trust that because we know there is such a creator, this is in whom we should trust. To our quantum energy, point number 18, the truth is, the Most High's existence, so to speak, within eternity, is a different quality of eternity as we relate to eternity of the past, present, and the future that we haven't even experienced yet. So when we talk about eternity, it's from the human perspective of eternity. How the Most High looks at eternity, we don't know yet what that means. Hopefully, perhaps in the days of the Mashiach, with the revelation of the line of Judah, Ayashel Yehudi, he will roar out Torah Chadashah and new insightful Torah that revealing teachings that we previously were not aware of. We'll understand what is the Most High's understanding of eternity. Torah quantum energy, point number 19. So what can help us better understand, meanwhile, what is maintaining the creation and connecting the creation from every side of creation? So this connecting force are basically seven divine emotive forces in which we can recognize the Most High is ultimately the divine source of all of these attributes or emotions, we might call them. So he's the source of the attributes of kindness, of might, beauty, victory, splendor, foundation, and kingship, rulership. Torah quantum energy, point number 21, blessed souls, the seven divine emotive forces connect ultimately to the Creator's divine attribute, or as he serves as a source of all Bina, understanding, from below to above and from above to below, to the divine attribute, Midot Eloki, of Malchut, kingship. In order, there is maintained an eternal flow from divine understanding, Ima Ilah, itself channeling downwardly higher bounties of Elokut, divinity, to ultimately our world via the Mida Eloki, Malchut, kingship. We now turn to the Ben Yishchai, blessed souls, in his elucidations, as I try to make them appropriately phrased in English language for all of you that are listening in, based on this week's Torah portion. So the Ben Yishchai poses a question. We all know the Most High is not a man. Yet, later on in the book of Exodus, he's not only called a man, but he's called a man of war. And who is he called a man of war? He's called a man of war by none other than Moshe, Moses, the mighty Levite prophet. In the book of Exodus, chapter 15, verse 3, which was recorded after the miraculous parting of the Red Sea, and the Egyptian army was crushed, which you can read about in Exodus chapter 14, verses 30 and verses 31. Torah quantum energy, point number 22. The term for man here, blessed souls, as we mentioned, man of war, or just man, the term for man in Lashon HaKodesh, Hebrew, is Ish. Now, the way we would spell Ish in the Ivrit, Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh, would be Aleph, and the Yod and the Shin, Ish. Now, for many people listening to the show today, these might be very foreign concepts to hear how the name used in English for man, M-A-N, now translates to a Hebrew word, Ish, with an Aleph, Yod, and Shin. However, in Hebrew, especially in Scripture, no word, no phrase goes unnoticed by the sages of Israel. And each word, and each phrase, and each sentence, each chapter, each book, has its own specific instructions. So as we zoom in on what is the implications according to the brilliance of the Ben Yishchai, Aleph, Yud, and Shin is an acronym for actually three divine names of the Creator. The Aleph of Ish is alluding to the Shem Kel, which is spelled in Aleph and then followed by a Lamed, and the Yud of Ish is alluding to the divine four-letter name, the Yud, followed by the hey, followed by a vav, and concluding with a hey, and the shin of ish, the last letter, this three-letter word for man in English, is pointing in the direction of the divine name of shin, then followed by a dalad, concluding with a yud. Torah quantum energy point number 23. The Ben Ish Chai instructs us that each one of the divine names, as it connects to the source of divine attributes, are more numerable than any person can enumerate. Yet, the fact that the word in Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh, Ish, is alluding to these three names, is serving as an instruction and a hint why at the beginning of this week's Torah portion, all three names that we mentioned right now, the divine names, were listed at the beginning of this week's Torah portion, chapter 6, verse 2. Okay, we're just looking back at one point here. Yeah. So with that being said, the name of Kael, or which is, if we spell it out, with a pause between the first and the second letter, because we're not allowed to say, according to our oral Torah tradition, to say the divine names outside the context of a verse. So I'm going to say the letter and then take a pause to say the second letter so you get an understanding of what name I'm referring to, if you understand Hebrew. And if you don't, may the Most High bless you to one day understand the Lashon HaKodesh. So Aleph, and then a pause, and then followed by a Lamed, is indicative that the Most High is the source of arousing anger against those spiritual forces which seek to bring judgment, harsh judgments, against the nation of Israel. The divine name of Shin, we pause, and then followed by a Dalet, we pause, and then followed by a Yud, at the last of those three letters of that divine name. This instructs us, as the Ben Ish Chai teaches us, that the Most High is the source conquering the guardian angel of any country that comes to make war against Israel for all generations. Then finally, the Yud of the Hebrew word for man, Ish, is alluding to the divine four-letter name of the Yud. We pause, followed by a Hey, we pause, then a Vav, we pause, followed by a Hey, that the Most High is the source for doing miracles to redeem Israel from the clutches of another nation that declares war against Israel. Israel, therefore, is elevated beyond the norms of natural existence to defeat our enemies at a time of conflict. And that's what took place, blessed, the beginning of the history, the birth of our nation in Egypt. And it happened throughout the generations when we gathered in a certain amount of numbers. And for the past 63 years, unfortunately, we see that our blessed cousins, the Yishmaelim, do not get the message, even though they were defeated soundly in 1948, 1956, 1967, 1973, 1982, although that was a more truncated type of victory. And where Israel fell at times is because the Jewish leaders of the modern state of Israel, unfortunately, did not express enough faith in the Most High that the nation of Israel is a unique nation. But the truth is, all nations, all the Noahide nations are unique nations. But when it comes to the living in the land of Israel, we have the right to defend ourselves. And those who come against should know that these three names are activated at a time of conflict. And may there be no more conflict. Rather, may all the inhabitants of the Middle East and Africa and Europe and Asia and North America, South America, Australia, may all call be'olam, all the inhabitants of the world, be imbibed with this knowledge of Torah to realize it is pointless to make war, not only against Israel, but against all nations. And if we live in a spirit of brotherhood, commensurate with how the Torah would really want us to act, we shall see peace and prosperity and see the coming of the mighty Mashiach speedily in our days in a pleasant and peaceful manner. We now turn to a very long teaching, which I severely contracted because it would be impossible to cover any other subject matter on this show. In fact, this teaching by the Lubavitch Rebbe now, which he taught almost 54 years ago, this coming Shabbat, which will be Shabbat Mevorachim, Shvat, he delivered a teaching, it will be as of this coming Blessed Shabbat, Bezer Hashem, with the help of the Most High, he delivered 54 years ago. So I'm plucking out various small nuggets to give you an idea of where Hasidus takes us in terms of generating laws of motions with our own state of inertia. And remember, when we turn to these teachings, Blessed Souls, to pull from them, they pull on us closer to them and their source, ultimately rooted in the Spirit of the Most High. Lubavitch Rebbe discusses in this week's Torah portion that, and I'm recapitulating again in a simplified fashion, when redemption is expressed, there are multiple ways of expressing it. One way is, which we can read about in chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. Number one, quote, I shall take you out, unquote. Number two, I shall rescue you, unquote. Three, quote, I shall redeem you, unquote. The fourth expression is, quote, I shall take to you, to me, for a people, unquote. And again, if you want to learn more about that, Blessed Souls, go to the book of Exodus, chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. To our quantum energy point number 27, these four expressions of redemption correspond to the redemption from Egypt almost 3,324 years ago. To our quantum energy point number 28, the Rebbe points out these four expressions of redemption also correspond to the future redemption. Torah quantum energy point number 29, while we can continue to expound upon expressions of redemption from Egyptian bondage, and we can also revel in the expressions of future redemption, we have to be humbled or not blessed souls to realize there are causes for the fact that we of the nation of Israel are still in exile, and all the human beings of the earth, Kol Be'olam, are also in a state of exile from our true sense of purpose in life. Torah quantum energy point number 30, the causes of exile relate to our shortcomings in our service to the Most High and communing with other human beings, which the world calls sins. Torah quantum energy point number 31, therefore, the Galut Ruchni, the spiritual exile, is actually an expression of lackings of sin. Torah quantum energy point number 32, that we of Israel were driven from our land, we have to recall as well, blessed so that land in Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh, the Holy Tongue, is called Eretz. Torah quantum energy point number 33, Eretz, land, in Hebrew context, relates to the concept of, quote, running out to do the will of the Creator, unquote. Torah quantum energy point number 34, blessed souls, pains me to say it, but we have to say it because this is the teaching that the Rebbe wanted to deliver, he delivered 54 years ago, so we can share it 54 years later in a recapitulated, more easier understanding, that sin causes a departure from carrying out the will of the Creator. Torah quantum energy point number 35, in order to return to the quality of running to do the will of the Creator, that expression of Eretz, that all of us should become an Eretz Chefetz, a desirable land, one must seek to rectify the reason for our originally going into exile. Torah quantum energy point number 36, blessed souls, so what is the remedy for rectifying the cause of exile? And there is a remedy. It is called Teshuvah, which the world calls repentance, blessed souls, but the word repentance in English is only half the equation. The other half of the equation of repentance, or teshuvah, is returning in sincerity to the Most High. Torah quantum energy point number 37, in fact, Rambam, Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon, in chapter 7, law 5, instructs us from his laws of tshuva, laws of returning, quote, Israel will not be redeemed except via tshuva, meaning we of Israel must repent, return to the Most High, for us to be redeemed. Torah quantum energy, point number 38. There are two general scenarios regarding tshuva, blessed souls. Scenario number one, if the tshuva will come, us being forced into a state of repentance, returning to the Most High, if it's coming through the agency of the Most High, it could lead to the manifestation of a flesh and blood human king who will rise and issue harsh decrees like the ones that Haman did, which you can learn more about from the Book of Esther. Probably similar to the decrees that we experienced over 67 years ago from the wicked Hitler, Yivach Shmo, and people like that. However, Torah quantum energy, point number 39, blessed souls, if Israel of our own accord does teshuvah and repents, the process of redemption will be much smoother. And not only that, blessed souls, for the children of Noah, remember, don't forget, read about it, all about in the Tanakh, you know, hear about it. It's the news from thousands of years ago, but the news of today, from the people of Nineveh, who were warned and instructed by the prophet Jonah, Navi Yonah, to repent, or else they'll be destroyed. They repented, they did tshuva, they were not destroyed. See, the tshuva coming from within the own accord, the own the motivation of the human life experience, leads to a smoother, easier way of living life, of greeting better times, hopefully speedily in our days. Torah quantum energy, point number 40. Since teshuva, repentance, returning, is connected to the redemption of Israel, the giloyim, the revelations which you are expecting to come through the agency, the merit of Mashiach, Messiah, will also include, as the Rebbe mentioned, the concept of the essence of teshuva, of repenting, returning. Torah quantum energy, point number 41. In fact, Mashiach, the Messiah, will not only teach the wicked to repent or to do tshuva, he will also cause the righteous to do tshuva as well, to return. So that's where we leave off. So imagine this. Most people always associate the idea of repentance with the wicked. But coming from the blessed inner dimensions of Torah, we understand, blessed souls, now, that it's not only the wicked, the people who are not as wicked, but even the most righteous must do a certain level of repentance, of returning, not because the truly righteous sin, but if they accomplished something and they got an A, for them it would be a sin when they could have gotten an A+. So the Mashiach will upgrade even the service of the tzaddikim to always serve not just on the level of A, but A+. Of course, I'm speaking allegorically. So now the time has come to end the show with our good friend David Dome, who helped us get us home. This is his song called Time Has Come. You can access David Dome's music, and hopefully you want to buy someone from Music X-Ray, 21st Century A&R. And again, the website is www.musicxray.com. And once you get there, you can search for the artist, David Dome. David, DavidDome. Again, this is David Dome to help us get home to the home of our Tzelem Elohim, which is Nogrim, our divine image. Have a beautiful day, everyone, to be continued. This has been Quantum Torah. Take care, everyone. Thank you.
Your finger.